Oh, that's true.
I don't know. Streaming stuff, way to go live. We're ready. Hi. Oh, if yeah, we're live, on. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know, but I'm trying to go live on Instagram.
That's okay.
Say it's easy. I pressed the button. It's all good, everyone.
Yeah, we're here. We're here. We just had to run our little intro.
We're here. Here's the title.
Is this thing on?
I mean, it's supposed to be this flawless, you know, point and click, everything's fine software. You
it's
know,
what
that
we're known
we
for,
are
flawless.
We're going well.
No, O'Reilly, it's not, fuck it, I'll do it live. I'll do it live.
It's, let's do yes, it. It's not point, it's not, you know, easy point and click software. It is hard point and click software.
Well, you have to
hello
copy and paste
there.
Like a key, don't you, Steve?
It's I know. Not, I know. Yeah, it's like a whole thing. Hi out there in UCR land, everyone, all of our UCR uncensored little unicorns that are walking around magically in the world. Welcome to the weirdness and wonderfulness that is UCR Live. We are an awesome foursome today, so very, very testosterone heavy. Vera's the flower, our beautiful flower today. It's good to have everyone here. Luke, you're with us today. How are you?
I am with. I've had a busy morning, and it's all because of Miss Katrina A. Johnson. And should I just go straight into it?
We'll talk about it in a minute.
Kitty's had me working. That's all I'll say. That producer title I have on here is actually now in full effect. I'm doing stuff. So, Sometimes I can step up to the plate.
Getting passed through, there's like directions being passed through international waters, isn't there, at the moment? It's like, oh,
absolutely.
Yeah,
look, while I'm sleeping, okay. I wake up to like a what?
I'm like, hi there.
Okay.
Can you do,
I'm on it. So.
Can you do this for us? Yes, sure. No worries.
Yeah, but look, it involved moving furniture. Yeah, that's, I can hear something quite loud happening in the background at someone's house. Yeah, it involved me moving furniture, setting up a whole, like, premiere thing again, which took me ages. And so anyway, I worked, and here I am, smiling.
Smiling and prepared. I've just figured out. There's been upgrades to StreamYard. That's exciting. Hello to people that are watching us on X, formerly Twitter. There you go. I can tell where people are watching from now. It's exciting. Hi, fellas. I'm sorry. I think that Katrina's going to be on, but we will talk about Katrina very, very soon. She does exist, but Hetero Tim exists more because he's here physically and in the flesh. That's you.
Yeah, that is me. Yeah. No, it's, I feel bad. It's just that it's been a crazy couple of months, you know, with the post-surgery stuff and everything. So my appearances have been few and far between, and I'm sorry for that. But, you know, I get back on a routine, on a schedule here. So hopefully I can get back on the horse, so to speak, and get back into it, because things are getting spicy. They're getting spicy over here, so I want to be part of it.
I think it's incredibly selfish of you, mate, that you've been taking time off to recover from surgery. It's just no excuse. <Yeah.
laughs> Oh, yes, you think that. My wife thinks that. My stepdaughters think that. Apparently the garbage man thinks that, the mailman thinks that. So yeah, I've been getting a lot of flack, and I'm not moving fast enough for anybody. So I have gone back in the gym to try to regain my strength now. So we're on our way.
Oh my God. That's Tim talking to me from the future, from the past. We're having technological difficulties left, right, and center today. I don't know what's happening. It's just, ooh, everyone wants to speak. Vera, do you need to speak? You always need to speak. You got something to say.
Well, I'll tell you.
And we love you for it. We love you for it.
My week's been busy, busy, busy. Work's been crazy. The entire world seems to be going through this huge anxiety flux. The clinic's been hopping. I can't tell you.
Oh, that's good. Nothing like anxiety to keep you on your toes. Nothing like anxiety to keep you on your toes and busy. It's good. Yeah. It's good for you. A little bit of heart rate. It's nice. We like it. Well, look, we got a lot to say. Well, look,
we're going to get into it.
I'm going to get into it because I have a lot to say because this has been pretty much my week. So let's jump into this week.
Hot load of hot topics.
Okay, the word on everyone's lips, or, you know, on everyone's TikTok at least, is definitely the fallout from Quiet on Set, the dark side of kids' TV, which is aired now in full. All four episodes have aired on ID. And, of course, we had our beautiful Miss Katrina A. Johnson starring in the first episode, detailing the precipice of danger before everything kind of went horribly, horribly wrong at Nickelodeon. So for those of you that haven't watched yet, myself, Katrina, and Katrina's good friend Daisy sat down the day after the last episode aired and we got into it because there was a lot that Katrina wasn't allowed to say before the show aired. When we are dealing with these legal issues, and this is still ongoing, there are still ongoing cases to do with not only Dan Schneider, but Nickelodeon and its stars in general. We have to speak in facts, and we have to follow these little bits of paper called NDAs. So Katrina wasn't allowed to talk about the content of the documentary until it aired, but she also didn't know the content of the documentary until it aired. So if you're not sure what we're talking about, please jump back and watch our last episode. And she goes into detail about her experiences with Dan Schneider in the early days of Nickelodeon, the creation of all that. I think her biggest revelation is the fact that she was originally slated to have her own show and it was taken from under her and given to Amanda Bynes. And that was the end of Katrina's time with Nickelodeon, but also the start of some quite tumultuous and dark stuff that went on. So did you guys manage to capture any of the documentary, or are you just catching the fallout, the social media fallout?
Yeah, I actually was kind of waiting to speak to you guys first before I went in to see it. Only because it's actually, oddly enough, someone approached me about it at the bus stop this morning. Wow. They were like, you do a podcast with the girl from All That, right? And they're like, she did like the rich old guy, right? And I'm like, yeah, I think it was a Ross Perot character, actually. But
it was Ross, yes. Yeah,
so he's like, oh, yeah, all the guys at work have been talking about it. And, we were just wondering, what? And I was like, well, you got to tune into the podcast, to find out. So I got at least one of the guys from the bus stop to jump on. But again, I didn't know the last episode had come out yet. So I wanted to be able to kind of watch it all the way through. I didn't want to have to wait and speculate. And, plus TV is just ruined for me now where I have to be able to watch everything at once. I can't wait a week for another episode. So,
Not patient.
Yeah, no, not anymore. No. So yeah, now I will watch that going forward. But I'm interested to hear what Katrina has to say because obviously the little bit that I've gotten to speak to her through here and just knowing how much you guys know of her and how well you guys know her, I obviously value and trust her opinion over anybody's, and especially the way that it gets edited and stuff. So,
and I think what's important for us to, again, and this is why Katrina, Daisy, and I did the show when we did it, because it was just blowing up, it's just happening. This, all that we were talking about and all that we have authority to talk about is what Katrina experienced in her time on Nickelodeon. So she had a very professional working relationship with Dan and had... I asked her the question. I said, nothing ever happened, she's adamant that it was a professional working relationship. As she said, her parents were always on set. If it wasn't both of them, it was one of them. There was always somebody with her, and he treated her you know, like it was a job, because the biggest difference that watching the documentary, and I know, Luke, you watched the whole thing. We kind of binged it and went, oh, gotta know. Because, you know, this is our jobby, as we like to call it, our job hobby. So we gotta know these things. The biggest difference, it seems, to when Katrina was, you know, just pretty much the star of the show. In those early seasons, she was the cute little one, and everyone wants a cute little one on TV show because it's fun. Was the extent that the parents were involved in their child's career. Katrina said many, many times on this show, her parents didn't want her to be on TV. She wanted it, and she had to prove it. Like, she had to work hard, do auditions, keep her grades up, do all that thing to be able to even get to the stage where she was on all that. So for these next generations, it seems, is when it kind of really twisted. And in the documentary, there are many cast members and people that worked on the show that said Amanda's dad was all about her career. It was about her career, her career, career. So whereas Katrina's parents treated it like a job and not a long-term job, they're like, okay, cool, you got to go to college, et cetera, which she did. There are other parents that saw this stardom and went, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to set us up for life. And I think that's when the problem started. And as I said on the show, it's when things get bigger and more outside forces come into it is when the real problems start to happen in the documentary. And Luke, you'll back me up with that.
Absolutely. And I think it happens with, you know, not just at Nickelodeon. It happens in a lot of projects, happens in films. Once you get outside input, once there's money involved, things get murky. And it, as you said, Steve, more energies come into the fray, come into the picture. And unfortunately, some really dark stuff come into the picture for Nickelodeon, and it became problematic. And that's a very clean way of putting that.
Yeah.
I have yet to watch the documentary, but I do know that the dynamic of abuse is the parenting. You know, the parents, an abuser recognizes when the parents are not involved or when the parents are easily manipulated. And you know, Katrina was spared that because her parents were there, and they weren't there to get her famous. They were there.
Yeah. Now,
she lived up to her side of the bargain.
I want to talk, the biggest revelation in the documentary, and it was spoiled because it kind of leaked on TikTok and everything, was the naming of an undisclosed minor who basically got Brian Peck put in jail. And it turned out to be not a random extra, not someone that, you know, that was a cog in the machine. It turned out to be one of the stars of their network, Drake Bell. And it was quite surprising to me that, A, it was a male star, because everyone was so fixated on the female cast members. And it also was really interesting. I've been trying to figure out a way to phrase this. We've been criticized, our show personally, for not knowing what we were talking about. And we outlined very, very clearly that, yes, there are a lot of rumors about what had went on at Nickelodeon, but they are just that. They are rumors until somebody steps forward and talks about Amanda Bynes' experience and talks about Jamie Lynn Spears' experience and talks about X, Y, and Z. Then it can be legal fact. You are liable for what you say in this world, and we just talked about what the documentary has set forward, because the world, if you jump on Google, you can find out a lot of information. Whether you choose to believe it is up to you, but there is a trail. There is, some would suggest a pattern, but that is not for us to really, you know, go yes, no, maybe. I know that Angelique Bates has spoken out about her experiences with Dan and the show, and we fully support Angelique, and of course we believe her, because, you know, she lived through it. So there is evidence of a lot of other stuff going on at the time. What we are talking about is this documentary and the allegations made in this documentary. So we can't speak to the to other things that people seem to want. Now that there's like a crack in the wall, they want to bring down the whole like situation, Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, everyone needs to pay for everything they've ever done. But especially with these cases, you have to do it the right way.
And social media has
people will get away with it. If you don't do these things in the right way legally, then
everyone brings their pitchfork and torch. They bring their pitchfork and torch on social media, and we understand that. But sometimes it's very misguided. You can't be so opinionated about things that, like, even we weren't there. So, and I find it funny that people are saying, like, look, I'm going to defend Katrina. She's my friend. People are saying nasty things about her on our page. And I'm like, what are you getting out of this? What is the point of that? And saying, oh, she sounds jealous. She did say she was jealous as a kid. Who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Absolutely, she felt that way as a kid. But as a mature adult woman, no, she doesn't feel that way now. She counts her blessings. And I can tell you now, she's living a very good life and she's very good with where she is. So I don't understand why people are like so happy to pile on anyone in these high emotion kind of situations. It's just
that's a part of the problem. That's a part of the problem when it comes to these kind of allegations, is that duality can exist. Someone can have an amazing experience with an abuser and go, yes, okay, lovely person, like, did all this for me, was a role model, da 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 da. But they're just not allowed to see the other side. Like, it doesn't make anyone's like story less true. Just because Katrina didn't have that experience doesn't mean that, you know, anyone else's experience with Dan is not true. Those female writers definitely had that experience. They had a legal case and they won against him. There was evidence of it. You know, it doesn't negate that. You have to look at a whole story. You know, this is the thing. It's bigger than, and the problems with Nickelodeon and the problems with child stars in general, and I think that's the issue. They are so focused on Dan Schneider for this first half of the documentary that bleeds into everything else. Whereas when we get to actual Drake Bell's story, Dan didn't really have anything to do with it until he reached out to Drake Bell and said, are you okay? What can I do for you? What do we need to do? So even Drake himself says Dan was the first person from anywhere, even from Nickelodeon, that came forward when everything was brought to light, that came to support him. So it isn't like, it's not black and white is the thing I guess we need to understand, or we need people to really look at and look at all of the facts before you make, like, TikTok is what? 2 minutes worth of something, 3 minutes worth of something, 40 seconds worth of something. And it's always the most salacious thing, jumping out at you. Do your research, or at least read a couple of different accounts, because we are always about opinions here, and everyone's opinion is valid, but it's got to be backed up by fact. That's all I'm going to say. It's a ride. It's a very dark ride, but I think you should watch it if you have interest in watching it. Our wrap up of it, we spoke for an hour, over an hour about all of it, but my wrap up was, I don't think people need to let it tarnish their memories of what that show meant to them, because the art is not the artist. That, of course, we have this conversation all the time. Like, Nickelodeon and Disney Channel and all this thing go to millions and millions of homes over generation. It's always going to be associated with that now, but it doesn't make your memories of what that meant to you any less. that's just my takeaway from it. It's just, it's hard to put, to see adult things in your childhood, like in things that you loved in your childhood, and realize that the world's a horrible place. But you know, we keep rolling, we keep moving. It is. The world is a horrible place. It is. But you know, we keep happy. We try and keep happy and keep moving on. But childhood icons seem to be, you know, a bit troubling lately. Luke, I'm sure you saw this, but Go-Go Power Ranger drama. Now, Austin St. John, the original Red Ranger, has made a few controversial remarks of his own in recent weeks, so much so that his former co-star, Amy Jo Johnson, who very rarely is drawn into any kind of Power Ranger drama, had to have her say. Do you want to kind of take, you're the Power Ranger aficionado, do you want to take us through?
Absolutely. So Austin St. John is launching, like, I think it's a t-shirt
It's a clothing brand. It's called Warrior.
And he wants to have quotes of famous icons, famous figures, famous quotes on these shirts. And he lists off, you know, rattles off all these different historical people and whatever.
Would you like the quote verbatim?
Absolutely. Give me the quote verbatim.
Okay. This is from a podcast interview that Austin did. I'm building a warrior line where I'll go back in history from pre-Greek days as far back as I can, the actor explained. I'm going to have famous quotes from warriors of all ilks, including terrible ones. Hitler was, you know, a demon on steroids, but he had some pretty good one-liners. So everyone from the great ones to the infamous and terrible ones. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to put Hitler quotes on clothing.
And you know what? He probably just, this is, and Amy's response to that is, I think some people should have, what did she say?
She goes, some people should have publicists, dear me.
Yes, so I think, and she's hit the money, like hit the nail on the head. Like, he's obviously not gone out there with the intention to offend people. He just doesn't. I don't think he has a lot of insight. Who the fuck says that about, oh, I'm going to have a Hitler shirt? Woo! Like, no, mate. It's not going to go down well when you brand yourself with a genocidal maniac. It's just, it can't come out in any other way than bad press. Sorry.
So Austin went on to say that the line will feature quotes from people like Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, saying the point is to look at our past, to the leaders, both good and terrible, and take from them what you can. Amy's further comment was, Rogue Red Ranger has an entire new meaning. Okay, I'll stop now. So she's, I find it interesting that she is very rarely drawn into the world of, you know, the drama. I think that she, like, you know, steps away, keeps distance, but she's like, this dude.
Well, I think in this case, she's very much saying, hey, don't associate me with that kind of crazy over there. And I don't think, I really don't think he meant to be offensive. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a really, it was probably an idea that he thinks is fabulous that's just come out like shit. Is there any other
Vera?
Way to put it?
Vera's a big inhale then. I feel like there's something coming.
There's a very real movement in the world to normalize that kind of dictator and that kind of hate. And, you know, to draw somebody out of a reclusive retirement, whatever quote he wanted to put on that t-shirt probably really offended her. And, you know, I gotta side with her. You can't normalize that kind of behavior. You can't make it acceptable. We can't allow it to breed, you know, and unfortunately it is breeding. We see it all over the world.
Yeah, it's not, we famously, you know, we believe in freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff until it proves dangerous to the world and all of that kind of stuff. It's troubling. to say the least. I think that, you know,
it comes with responsibility.
Yeah.
And consequences.
Yeah, it's just, what a weird flex is all I'm going to say. Like, of all the collectibles you could come out with as a Power Ranger, you want to do Hitler merch? It's just, I don't know. The world is a wacky place. We haven't done an article about it, but to prove that, you know, it's not just the old folks. Did you guys hear about the 9-year-old boy that went to the petting zoo?
No.
Okay. There is a 9-year-old that has been. You might find, if you have a problem with animals and violence against animals, you might want to just go la 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 la. So it's been reported by the Metro that in the Netherlands, a 9-year-old boy went to a petting zoo by himself and killed 11 animals. He strangled 9 rabbits and 2 guinea pigs to death. Unattended by an adult. That's like Jeffrey Dahmer. Like,
I was going to say, that kid might buy with Red Ranger shirt. Like,
geez.
Even Jeffrey Dahmer didn't kill animals. He collected roadkill and dissected it. He didn't even fucking kill animals. So this is a whole other level.
Violence against animals, though, is an early symptom of mental health.
It's just lack of empathy
for something.
Not even empathy. It's just lack of anything.
For years and years, the psychological world did not want to label children, so they had very harmless diagnoses like persistent mood disorder, but one of the symptoms that always was a red flag to anybody in mental health is children with violence against animals. You know,
so there was various reports that there was no emotion while this child was committing these acts. He was just going along. And the psychiatrist, there's been a local psychiatrist that has like popped in and said, apparently he feels so bad within himself that he feels that he has to do this.
Why do we have to have excuses for fucking everything? Why is there an excuse for every action? Every action requires an excuse now. Well, he didn't mean to. This is his only way of acting. Bullshit. Go punch a fucking wall like I did when I was 10 years old and I didn't know how to react to my abusive alcoholic father. Go fucking, you know what I mean? Go scream in a dark closet. Go do the gym. Go exert. You don't need to go to a fucking petting zoo and strangle rabbits because you don't know how to get it out.
Motivation does not preclude problem. You know, you can't excuse the behavior no matter what the motivation. You know, you can't say, my dad made me mad, so I smothered him with a pillow. Why would you be able to say, I have problems in my life, so I killed a rabbit? You know, I mean, it's not okay.
It's not okay. Now, this child will escape any kind of criminal charges, et cetera, because he is under the age of 12 years old. He is being put into a care facility to deal with his behaviours. Now, I don't know what the Netherlands mental health system is like, so it could be the best place that he could go, but it's definitely, that's concerning. Beyond concerning.
There are sociopaths whose brains are miswired, and they're never going to learn empathy, and they're never going to learn social personal responsibility, and, you know, sometimes they do exist.
Yeah,
How does a 9-year-old get out of the house and go to a zoo unattended?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are the parents or caretakers in this situation either? You know what I mean? Like, they can't be held without any sort of accountability. You know, it has to be like, well, where were you? What were you doing that you didn't know your 9-year-old was gone for hours strangling small animals at a zoo? I mean, that's crazy.
Still, sorry, I don't mean to use that word.
that's crazy.
Participating in behavior that led their child to be that way.
That enabled it.
Because they're out killing hookers in the Netherlands in the red light district.
Or they're just playing. Oh, wow. Kid's been on his own for so much, you know?
Man.
Yeah. Kid's been entertaining himself since he was two, and mom's, I don't know, wherever mom might
Who be. Knows? But we don't, yeah, wow. See, this is again, we are dealing with things we got to go with facts, and we don't, all we know is this kid pet those animals a bit too hard.
George is the rabbit.
George, yeah. I was just thinking that. We've watched the same movies, I
believe. look, should we brighten things up a little bit? Because, you know, that's been a bit heavy. Speaking of good childhood memories.
No incest today?
Not yet. there's been a brightening in the horizon with the release of not only images, but the first trailer for Beetlejuice. This made me smile so much. Have you guys seen the trailer yet? It's only a teaser trailer.
Yeah, the teaser that Jeff posted for us. I watched that and I got excited right away.
It is a brilliant choral arrangement of Dale. And it's great. It has Jenna Ortega, who is playing Lydia Dietz's child, biking around some very familiar sights and unveiling a little town map that comes alive and earthquakes and lightning. And my God, Winona Ryder looks great.
She does.
I was like, she looks like
Winona
a child.
Looks like he could still be like Jenna's sister in the movie rather than her mom.
She does. Yeah. She does. I think Catherine O'Hara looks amazing. I think she's going to serve next level absolute fucking craziness in this movie. as she does in everything she does. Yeah. But seeing Michael Keaton rise from the mist saying the juice is loose, I was like, okay, there are still things okay in the world. It's all good. I think this could be one of those odd occasions where it's going to be an okay thing that we went back to this well and dug it out, and you know, all these years later, it's come back.
After
and it
all
looks
these
like...
years, you would imagine it would have to be a really good project to bring everyone
back.
It's been in development hell since the original movie came out, but I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited for this movie. It made me go a little bit, yay.
So do
and
we think
he looks like he's going
to
have fun.
Is why we're not getting a season two of Wednesday?
Well, Wednesday's happening. And it was just pushed back and then the strikes and then da-da-da-da-da and then Scream. there was a whole big thing. So... there will be an uncensored horror coming this week, all about Scream 7. Thank you, Vera. speaking of Jenna Ortega and her drama, Luke, Katie and I sat down and hashed it all out. We thought it was going to be a short little episode, but as always, once we get talking, things seem to get lost amongst the ideas. But while we're talking about horror movies and old school stuff, there is exciting news bubbling there as well. For anyone who had a really good summer in the late 90s, the reboot / sequel / wrinkle to I Know What You Did Last Summer is full steam ahead. It is happening. They are, hunting down the original cast or the surviving cast for their comments on whether it's actually happening or not. So by the time that this happens and, like, Entertainment Tonight are asking the questions, it's happening. Like, we're not gonna pretend. Like, we talked about it last year when it first got rumoured. So Jennifer Love Hewitt was caught on the red carpet for the debut of the premiere of, I think it's season 7 of 9-1-1 that she stars in now. And
She was very... Oh, wow, it's been going that long.
Yeah. She was coy. She said, I can't confirm but won't deny. How about that? Here's the truth. I don't actually know what they have planned, but I'm assuming there'll be lots of screaming and running around, she added. Hopefully, the tops will be a little bit longer than they were in the first movie. So, Jen knows what's going on. Jen knows what's going on. Look, I think that was a very interesting time for a lot of young men and young women that met Jennifer, especially in the second movie where she was not only wearing a small top but wet most of the time. So, as I posted in the chat today, in our group chat, it's also been 26 years since Wild Things was released.
Wow.
That's
so
crazy.
That whole... Look, I know... We also have an assigned seating coming up about Cruel Intentions. So we talked about Wild Things on that. Look at all of this stuff that we're doing.
We've been doing a lot of diving back into the 1999 catalogue. Look, I know what you did last summer. Well, not, it was 97. It was very much, look, it was a great follow-up kind of, because we had all those Scream clones that come out, but I know what you did last summer was different enough, but it was still, Kevin Williamson had wrote it, so it definitely had that Scream flavor to it, but it was a very solid, like, slasher, 90s slasher entry, and I'm glad we're going back to it because I know they made so the first two sequels star Jennifer Love. The third one was a direct-to-video nightmare that needs to just be.
Which is why they're making this new one, I think.
Yeah.
That's all right.
And, so Freddie, it's a shame that we can't have certain cast members back because they died in the first and second one, but you know, never know.
Well, yeah, so Freddie Prinze Jr. has been a little bit more forthcoming with information. Freddie says original films are announced that Love and I were doing it, but they haven't offered me anything yet. I sat down and met with the director after they made the announcement, which I shouldn't have done, by the way, but it happens in our business all the time. I sat with the director and she pitched me a cool idea. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I haven't read a script. I haven't received any official offer. I'm just being all cards on the table. I don't believe in being coy and keeping these silly Hollywood secrets anymore. I'm 47 years old, and I don't have time for that. The men in my family don't live that long. So Freddie's got some things to say. Yeah, he's definitely got age, hasn't he? He's but not badly. Hi, Dogsy. We've talked about what have we talked about? We've talked about Nickelodeon documentaries, strangling rabbits, the regular stuff.
Just
the regular
really
drama.
Nice light show.
Really nice. Really nice and light. I'll tell you who is not feeling very light at the moment. Someone's feeling a lot of pressure. A lot of financial pressure for an alleged millionaire. So Donnie done fucked up. Let's be honest, Donnie done fucked up a lot, but he is well and truly. I can't see how he gets out of this New York property thing. He can't afford it. So the whole thing is that he has filed papers to an appeals court seeking to waive the requirement to post bond in his civil fraud case. Now, Vera, do you want to talk a little bit more? Of course she does.
I'm ready. To talk about it if you want.
Tap me in, coach. I'm ready.
The civil fraud case is where he has been deliberately overvaluing and undervaluing his properties so that he can get higher loans from banks and pay less taxes. And it's a common practice for him for years. And Letitia James brought the receipts. She proved it in court of law that he did this. And so he has to pay back in unpaid taxes. And
these are not small amounts.
Fines. $400 million,
and $454 million, which is accruing.
To appeal it, he has to put up a bond for that amount plus interest. So that's where you get the higher figure. And now, and
every day that he doesn't pay it, it's accruing $112,000.
Right. So now he's gone to these companies after having admitted that he's lied to them for years about the values of his property and asked them to help him make bond. And they're saying, how do we know you're not undervaluing your overvaluing your property today? And he also has a history of not paying his bills, which I've been talking about for 9 years now. Every contractor in New York State knows he doesn't pay his bills. But so other people are like, well, we're not going to lend you that money because you've stiffed us in the past. So he has these assets. He has numerous properties. They do exceed the cost of this bond, but nobody's willing to lend him this money to cover it. And it's not liquid assets. They're all property.
Exactly. And it's Mar-a-Lago. He overvalued by some, like, an insane amount. It's like 2,300%. Like, it's some bizarre figure.
Mar-a-Lago is on record. Everybody knows what the property of Mar-a-Lago is because it was briefly owned by the National Park System and was going to be like Camp David of White House South at one point. So Mar-a-Lago, he hasn't been able to overvalue too much. You know, he has said, oh, I've made these improvements, blah, blah, blah. But the real problems are like in his Trump Tower apartment, which was actually 30,000 square feet, which is huge by New York standards, but he valued it 200,000 square feet, which is an exorbitant exaggeration.
Yeah, that's a difference. In New York, that's a big difference.
The 40 Wall Street, and I didn't get a chance to confirm this. I usually like to confirm stuff I read from unknown sources. But what I read this morning about 40 Wall Street is that he doesn't actually own the property. He owns the leasing rights. So he pays a leasing right to the owner, and then he rents the individual offices and collects the rent. So he can't borrow against 40 Wall Street, which is one of the most valuable properties in his portfolio. You know, it has caught up with him in a bad way.
But I don't see how you get out from under this. When
that remains to be seen, he has lots of powerful friends.
I don't know.
I'm not counting him out yet, though I wish.
I know, I'm not counting him out, but I'm just like, yes, criminal charges, yeah, the sexual assault charges, yes, okay, cool. We all know he's a creepus. We know that he's been undervaluing his properties and overvaluing his properties and, you know, and dodging up the books. But this, like, this is not a small amount of money. And from the story that we are to believe that he is a millionaire, like, nothing touches me. I'm the former president of the United States. I can just do whatever I want. But you don't have the money.
Well, current value of all his properties, it does come up to close to $1 billion. It is like something like 790.
But it's, as you said, it's not liquid. It's not, yes, I can not pay liquid. You that I have to in sell this to do it, to
get the money to put up this bond himself. He is going to have to sell it at fire sale prices.
Exactly. So it's concerning, but of course this is all a plan to drain his election funds. This is everyone trying to stop him from doing...
He's already drained his election fund.
You broke the law, bruh.
He's already drained...
Fragrantly and often. This isn't anyone trying to stop you from doing anything. This is the reality of the situation, whether you choose to live in it or not. Like, get away with it. Forever.
I was a lifelong Republican. I know I've discussed this on this show. And it wasn't until Donald Trump that I left the Republican Party. But I'm still on all the mailers. I get easily 6 funding requests a day from the Donald Trump organization and have for 9 years. He has tapped his small dollar donors dry. You know, if you are somebody who believes in this man and has been giving him $10 a month, you've got to be at a point where you're done. I mean,
but doesn't that just prove that?
And now I'm getting asked from his daughter-in-law, who says we have to make sure we keep our president out of jail. You know, and the asks that I get every day are getting more and more desperate, and they're not making any effort to hide the fact that this money they're soliciting is for Donald Trump's legal problems.
But doesn't that prove the point? Like, how do people not see that?
You are never going to change someone's mind once they've made it up. You know,
I don't understand how people don't see that. If you've been giving this man $10 a week for however many years, and he's been on trial for fraud. Like,
yeah.
Where is the money? Where is the receipt? Like, I don't know. And yet he's still going to save America.
I think he has been the biggest detriment to this country. Like, our standing abroad and our worldview in my lifetime.
And I'm just like, it's very interesting. Here we go, Dogsy. I should get a loan to buy Trump Tower for half the bond and turn into 58 floors of Planned Parenthood. I like it. That's a good idea. But look, as always with Donald, I guess we'll see.
The ball keeps rolling, doesn't it? Friends and other billionaires may come to his rescue.
I'm at a loss.
Well, speaking of, Steve, what about Holly Valance's? So she married a billionaire. So she was a soap actress here in Australia, and yes, she released music. So she's gone and done an interview where she's called Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg. What was it? A horrible little gremlin?
She's called her a climate change goblin.
Oh,
I thought she said demon.
But Holly's husband, who is a billionaire, has actually been at the Mar-a-Lago. And Holly's very anti-climate change. She's very anti-woke.
Holly has said that she would never move back to Australia. It's because,
you know, we've become too woke. But I think, you know,
there's probably the bad.
I wouldn't leave my billionaire bloody mansion either, girl. But like, but yeah, she's definitely speaking from a position of privilege. Yeah, she's speaking from a position of privilege. Like,
so out of touch.
She's living on yachts and flying around in private jets. So she's kind of forgotten what the old Australia was that she did live in, because now she's living this whole other existence.
What reality is, some would say. I mean, it's like the blowback that Jennifer Lopez is getting on TikTok. Jim, you would have seen, I take my hair out like this. It's like,
oh, yeah.
everyone is turned like turned against Jennifer Lopez in the
most hilarious way. The cameraman who was one of the guys on set who filmed that portion was like, that's supposed to be Jennifer in this very real moment, you know, and he goes, it took us 12 takes of her tossing her hair and saying that line. He goes, and she couldn't get it. He goes, so what take do you think we used? The 12th one. He's like, and he goes, it's absolutely insane. He goes, you haven't been back to that block, Jenny, since you were 9 years old. So don't give me any of that shit, you know, like, the whole thing's becoming such a joke.
Yeah, it's funny. I think we need to have a conversation because Justin Timberlake thinks they're trying to address the criticism of these pop stars as ageist. So Justin Timberlake's album has underperformed and whatever. Jennifer's album has underperformed. And they're trying to go, oh, it's just middle-aged people trying to be pop stars. It's like, no, it's out-of-touch people trying to relate to everyday life. That is the major problem. But, you know, that's a conversation for another day. There is a big conversation brewing, though, about the reality of the world of music. Now, we are couple of days away now from Beyonce releasing a country album, which everyone kind of went quah about and was a little bit, you know, confused. She cites the reaction that she got the country music industry being made to be feel unwelcome there as to, you know, the major force behind, you know, trying to step into that arena and, you know, let her voice be heard, etc., etc. And there's a lot of feelings about it. How do we feel? Let's who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Tim. I saw Tim's face. So, I was like, Tim's gonna go first.
So I think anytime you deal with any sort of artist, I mean actors, painter, musicians, whatever, I think that there is a lot of feelings, and I think that they all have the right to express themselves in any way, shape, or form that they choose, right? Because, I mean, that's what being an artist is all about, is creativity and expression. I'm not saying she does not have a right to do country. I would defend her right to do country. But this is coming from somebody who has made their career in the genre of hip-hop and R&B and pop. And, you know, for a long time, especially in the 90s, it was like if someone from another genre tried to get into that genre, it was like, well, you can't speak from our perspective because our culture is what defines this genre of music. And I think that now she's experienced the other side of that, where she's stepping into the genre of country, and a lot of country artists are kind of like, this speaks to our culture and our heritage and, you know, how we go about our lives. And I feel like that crossover is always hard because you've identified Beyonce now as this person in her genre. And I think there's always going to be pushback when someone tries to cross genres, so to speak. I mean, I remember when Taylor Swift was country and almost like gospel and became like a pop musician, or Faith Hill or Shania Twain. And it's kind of like, whoa, like stay in your lane, ladies, you know, like you're country musicians, like you're not supposed to be here. And it'll take time for her to break through. That's
and that's part of the problem, is that the country music industry is historically very
white
and straight. Let's put it out there. Let's put it there. White and straight. And it takes artists that are not that a lot to break through. Like, look at Darius Rucker. Darius Rucker was famously Hootie, Hootie and the Blowfish, and didn't put a face to his voice when he first started releasing his music because he wanted to be judged by his music, not by the fact that he was A, Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, and B, Black. And now Darius Rucker's a huge country star now. He has made that transition. But he is in the minority. Look at like Orville Peck, who is a gay country musician, which is even more
I'm going
more
to
rare.
Play devil's advocate here, though, for the purpose of conversation. Do you think that Beyonce has much respect for the country genre?
But how can I don't think it's anyone's. I don't think it's anyone's.
The song that she's released is pretty good.
I think both of them are quite good songs.
I've only heard Texas
Hold'em. And if Texas Hold'em 16 Carriages, like, she released a ballad that up-tempo, yeah.
Okay. I don't feel like you should have to pigeonhole artists. I feel like crossover, and you know, you can't say that because Jennifer Love Hewitt is making horror films that she can't ever step out of that and do a serious movie. You can't, I mean, Lady Gaga did a jazz album, you know, I mean, Picasso painted with oils, but he did a lot of watercolors and charcoals, you
very
know,
nice.
Why no, I limit like that. The artist to expression? I think she's been gatekeeped. I think there's plenty of people saying stay in your lane, but I think she's going to show them. I think the single that I heard, I only heard the one. I think
and
it's pretty
this
good.
This is the thing. This is the thing we always say. If you don't like someone's music, don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Don't stream it. Don't involve yourself in something that you don't right. like. Like, there's this thing that in humankind, and I think it's just the adaptation of the internet and social media, that we feel that everyone needs to know our opinion. Ironic for us because of our show.
Yes, we give our
opinion. You know, but we've been doing it for
a long time.
Sometimes
I give other opinions, like just now, to cause conversation. It happens.
But
yeah, you know,
if I genuinely don't like something.
And you're entitled to speak your opinion, but you're not entitled to define somebody else by your opinion.
Exactly. Like, I'm not interested in a lot of music. I'm not going to go and pay money to see fucking, I don't know, Cliff Richard or something. Like, I don't spend my time on Cliff Richard message boards going, "You're the devil," like, rah, 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 "you don't deserve to breathe." Like, yeah, people, you don't want to listen to Beyonce's country music? Change your channel, Marge.
Well, you know, it's like, what do these people do with their days? What do these people do with their days if they have time to go to these fucking message boards and complain? I think it's Sebastian Maniscalco has a whole bit where he's like, you know what? He's like, the broccoli sucked in this restaurant, or the salmon was terrible. I'm going to go home, and for 45 minutes, I'm going to write a page about how the salmon in your restaurant is fucking terrible. And it's like, what do you do with your life? Like, how do you have the time to sit down and bitch about somebody that has no bearing on you? Just enough. You don't like it? Good. Move on. Done. But these people, they sit and they just gripe, and it's just absolutely
insane. It's definitely got to have something to do with serotonin and, like, because we've all done it, and it's taken me doing this show to not bite back at people because they want the reaction, and like, as I Luke will message me, goes, "Did you see so and so said this about this?" I'm like, just don't feed the troll. Don't feed the trolls. I want the reaction. Don't speak for trolls.
I will feed you. I will feed you trolls. I will comment on your abuse.
Sometimes I can't.
Give it to me.
It's funny, even like on TikTok, like I'll take like one of those, like someone will post like a 5-question quiz. And it's like, "Oh, post your scores." And I'll go to post my score and I'm like, "Wait a minute. Like, who gives a shit what I fucking say?" There's 7,000 comments. No one's going to fucking read mine because I sure as hell don't read anybody else's. Like, what the fuck am I doing? And I got to back out and move on. It's like, no one gives a shit what any of you have to say about anything.
And on that same note, Tim, I don't care how you did the Wordle today. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, right.
We all did the Wordle. I don't care what the score was.
Yeah, fuck.
It's just, yeah, look, I feel like we are,
Jesus,
we are, you know, stuck to being slaves of our own creation now. We wanted this worldwide web where everyone can be heard. This is it, folks. This is what it looks
hear
like.
Everyone, yeah.
They have to hear
deafening.
Everyone.
Deafening.
You just don't listen, you know? But there's someone you should always listen to her because she gets real hot under the collar. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Beer of Ed. This week, without any interferences, hopefully. Here we go. Hopefully. Three.
I don't know if I can get hot because it's fucking freezing here in Auburn, New York. The polar vortex has reached down and ruined our spring. But the Republican Party's slogan for this election cycle, which is 9 fucking months in this country and has already started, is, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" And a lot of people are running around saying, "Yes, I'm better off," or "not better off. 4 years ago when Trump was president, everything was great." I would like to take this moment to remind you where we were 4 years ago. 4 years ago, the world had just fucking shut down. 4 years ago, people were dying all over the place. In Italy, so many people were dying that the medical professionals could not get to them. And people were living in their homes with corpses in the bedroom because nobody could come pick them up. In New York City, they were using refrigerator trucks for morgues. And in my little tiny clinic, and here in the middle of nowhere, we couldn't get personal protective equipment. This is what I went to work in. It's a handmade mask made by church ladies that has a little pocket in here so that I could insert a filter if I was dealing with a client. And it has a little bread twist tie in here so I could adjust it to fit my face. And it's made with homemade elastic and fucking quilter scraps. This is where I was 4 years ago, going to work every fucking day, knowing that I had multiple risk factors for this disease, knowing that there was no known cure at present, knowing that I had to go to work because that was part of my nursing oath, was to show up for other people, knowing that I could possibly bring this disease home to the people I love, some of which had heart disease, some of which were in their 90s. Thankfully, I never did. Thankfully, I never got it. Thankfully, we found a vaccine and we found a cure and we find our way out of it. But yes, I am fucking better off than I was 4 years ago. And so is everyone on the planet.
I'm assuming that's the end. That was dramatic. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Well, it is. I was having this conversation at work the other day. It seems like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't that long ago that we were all shutting ourselves in the house and thinking that we're all going to pop
four
our
years
clogs,
ago this
really
week.
Was. It's crazy.
It's when we brought this show back 4 years ago around this week, came back because of COVID.
Yeah. So it's definitely been an interesting ride, hasn't it? Like, to put it in context for one of these, once in a generation pandemic moment, like, it was hard to believe that people forgot Spanish influenza and all that kind of stuff that happened, but fingers crossed, touch wood, all the things. Hopefully we are in a post-pandemic world now, and it will be something that, these kids grow up with and go, hey, remember when we spent like a year at home? That was cool.
Yeah. And but look, stunted all highs and lows. Emotional development because we didn't socialize for a year and a crucial point.
We did, and we have talked. Yeah. We have talked about it. We have done the COVID pause episode. If you go back on our Real Talk Roundtable, there's a lot we've talked about in the last 4 years. So if you have not followed us, please, please do so. Check us out. We are everywhere. Obviously, YouTube holds the key to all of our old stuff. So if you jump over to YouTube and just look for Uncensored Radio, you will see us. If you're watching us on Facebook, you're already part of it. Thank you to the people who are watching on Twitter today. We've got some Twitter people on there. At LiveUCR on Instagram and Twitter, which is now X. And, of course, Tickety-Tockety is taking off as well at My Uncensored Radio. Anywhere where there is social, except for we're not on Threads, because I don't think anyone's on Threads, are they? I think Threads is unraveled. But we are here, and there are literally, I think I looked at it the other day, 1,600 shows of audio as well. So if you don't want to watch us and you want to listen to us, you can listen to us at any of these lovely streaming sites: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, BlogPod Radio, TuneIn, or anywhere where, I was going to say good podcasts are found, but anywhere where
podcasts are found. Good.
But that catalogue on our audio, though, guys, goes right back to when Karen Ashley first was on the show with Jeff created the show with Katrina and
radio.
Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it goes way, way back. And they had guests on like Ricky Lake, Michelle Visage. Like it was they had a ride. So here we are.
You can follow us on the highs, lows, twists and turns that is the Uncensored Radio journey. Thank you for being us. Thank you for sticking with us today on the show. If you ever want to comment, the comment boxes are there. We love it when people comment. So make sure you share the love. Thank you for joining us today, Tim, Luke, the vivacious Vera. I've been Steve, and we will see you again next week on UCR Live. Stay SARS-free. Bye. question before we go. Whatever happened to swine flu and monkeypox?
Not enough people died for us to give a shit.
Yeah, COVID happened.
I got my monkeypox vaccine because I'm a hoe. That's all.